Hey everybody, it is Monday, May 9th, 2022. My name's Larry Jacobs. Actually, my name's Larry Jacobs, no matter what the date is. Okay, welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for being here today. We have a nice show with one of our favorite guests. She's here far too little of the time because she is just absolutely incredible. Her name is Dr. Faith Rogal. And she, her new book is from NAEYC, the National Association for Educating Young Children. And this is for elementary school, obviously, okay, and preschool. Media Literacy for Young Children is the name of the book. Teaching Beyond the Screen Time Debates. Teaching Beyond the Screen Time Debates is the subtitle by Dr. Faith Rogal. And I suggest you, I have it here connected, but you can go over to NAEYC or do Amazon and check out this book. It is fascinating reading, Media Literacy for Young Kids. Welcome to 2022, Buck Rogers in the 23rd century. It's absolutely incredible how media affects these children, and Dr. Rogal is an expert. I got to tell you, Faith, this is amazing. Faith is the, I just want to read this. She's a media literacy leader, innovator, and founder of Insiders Educational Consulting. That's enough to get in touch with her. She was the founding president of the National Association for Media Literacy and Education, that's NAMLE, founding editorial board member of the Journal for Media Literacy Education, a leading advisor to Project Look Sharp, and a co-author of NAMLE's Core Principles of Media Literacy Education in the United States. My God, she's even smarter than I am. Unbelievable. So she's going to be here in just a minute to talk about media literacy and young children. In the meantime, here at Education Talk Radio, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we're over at ACE-ed.org, ACE-ed.org. Everything we do is over there. The new issue of our magazine, which is an online journal, that's over there. Equity in Access, you'll see the cover. Just click through. All of our work in teacher retention, you'll see an icon. Just click through, and that's very important. This educator shortage is a killer. We have great professional development that's available. Okay, that's very respectful to teachers, okay, and educators of all stripes. Okay, we don't want to lose any more great educators. Please check that out. That's over at teacherretention.com under professional development. Teacher-retention.com. Under professional development, we got our SEL today on social emotional learning. All of our podcasts like this one are archived over at ace-ed.org. Hey, we are busy. We're so busy, but we're still excited to be working on our inaugural Excellence in Equity Awards, which will help us spotlight and celebrate high-impact work across K-12 education. 27 different award categories covering all angles of equity, 10 categories for educators, 17 categories for companies and nonprofits. It's over, again, linked over at ace-ed.org. But if you want to go direct there, ace-ed.org/awards. If you're an educator, you can nominate yourself or a colleague or companies. And companies can encourage, can nominate founders and leaders and marketing departments, all sorts of things. Please check it all out. It's at ace-ed.org. Go over there. Then go /awards if you want to. Okay, that's enough about us. Let's get back to Faith. That's a good – actually, let's get back to Faith. I like that statement anyway, whether you're on the show or not. Hi, Faith. It's Larry.
Hi. Well, how you
thank
doing? You so much for that kind introduction. I don't think it's possible to be smarter than you are.
It
but,
is. Believe
thank
me.
You.
Just, if you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll say, who you know, by the way. You trust her, Carol.
I do.
Okay. She did know you were coming on the show today, okay? It's great to have you here. What you been doing lately? What's Insiders? Tell us about this.
So Insiders is my consulting business. I have been out on my own for a while now, and I use that to spread my passion about media literacy in the world and hopefully maybe make a living in the process, doing things like professional development and writing materials and things like that. And then I spent a good chunk of the pandemic kind of lockdown thing writing a book, which was
there you go. Well, that's not so bad. Is this the book? Because this book's pretty good.
It is the book.
Media Literacy for Young Children. You think they'll make a movie out of it? It's pretty damn good, I got to tell you. Right?
I, I don't know. That would be nice, though. I hear those have nice payoffs.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't hurt us, I got to tell you. You know, it's interesting, okay? We talk about media literacy all the time, and I have to say, when people think of it with kids, you think of it as older kids. I don't think you think of it as younger kids. All right? And, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's just literally off the top of my head, thinking about it, okay? When you say media literacy for young children, I'm just going to ask you generically, what are we talking about here? Okay, how young are we going, and how influenced, how does a child, okay, you're the expert on this, how does a child, okay, understand what's being thrown in front of them? It's more the parent that's going to be responsible for that. Talk about this. Just get into the generic of it. Go ahead, Faith.
Yeah, so it's a kind of big question and yet really kind of pretty simple. But if you think of media literacy as just being about teaching about disinformation and how to, analyze the news and things, the kinds of things that people are really focused on now, and with good reason, but focused on now, then it's hard to imagine that this could be appropriate for very young children. But the truth is that media literacy is a broader set of skills, and it's very much like we think of traditional literacy. We're trying to equip people to be literate in the world they live in. And once upon a time, if you knew how to read and write print, that did it for you. You know, you were equipped to live in the world. That's not the world we live in anymore. And so for me, it's a rethinking of literacy, to be literate in the world that we live in today, to prepare children for the world they actually live in. We have to start early, and we have to broaden the notion beyond just news literacy or information literacy or even just digital literacy. So once we do that, it's a little bit easier to begin to understand what we're talking about when we're talking about media literacy for young children. Because, no, we're not sitting them down in front of a newscast and having them, analyze a broadcast or a story. What we are doing is saying, you know what, there are habits that if you have them early on, if they become your brain's kind of default setting of how you engage with the world, those will help you become literate in this world that we live in. Those will help when you're finally ready to sit down in front of the news and figure it out or, you know, deal with a social media feed and everything that comes through that. So for young children, what we're talking about mostly is developing habits of inquiry so that as they begin to recognize what media are and see them in their world, that their brain has a kind of skill set, an internal dialogue almost, that goes with it, where they have questions that they ask all the time, and they, as they age, begin to know how to find credible answers to those questions. And engaging kids in that conversation is really more what we're after as we begin to kind of map it out for young children.
That was a great answer, by the way. I got to tell you, and it brings up your answer brings up even more questions. Obviously, okay. Obviously, I mean it's just or otherwise we'd end the show right now. But obviously, there's more questions. Okay, and what strikes me about it is, we have to have a definition of literacy. That's first of all, and second of all, we tend to think of media literacy as, and this is a key question to me, internet-based, okay? That's when, if I'm wrong, correct me certainly, but I haven't heard the words media literacy before the internet was invented, okay? And yet, I go back to my childhood when television was in its new stage, okay? And I sat in front of the television, except when I was in school, 23 hours a day, when I was a little kid. Okay,
right.
And I'm curious, in your opinion, when did the world kind of change from reading and writing literacy to a media literacy that we had to start to think about? Because I can't believe anybody thought about it when I was a kid, okay? And you're far younger than me, believe me, okay? And probably people didn't think about it. Well, yeah, you are. And people didn't think about it when you were a kid. Okay, but now we think about it. So when we think of media literacy, we think of internet. But I think it goes beyond that, or maybe it doesn't. Help me there. This is great. I love talking to you. This is great.
Well, so there are lots of places that we've kind of, you know, entered the conversation about how we think about media coming in. And you know, people have been concerned about the introduction of each new kind of media as it's come along, and there have been kind of calls for some media literacy education. So, you know, there was like a whole outcry in the 1930s about radio and how it was going to destroy American youth and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And then, but in more recent times, the phrase media literacy and media literacy education really started up in the 1980s. And there was a movement kind of in the UK and also in Canada were early leaders on this. And the United States a little bit behind that. But so yes, in talking about television and what we do with kids and television and stuff, there was a lot of dialogue around that. And it seeped into some schools. And
not
I've
mine.
Been doing this since, you know, the early, or I should say late 1990s. So it's been around for a while, but especially for the world of young children, the introduction of touchscreen technologies changed the game. Because when you and I were young, cameras were enormously expensive, and it took forever to get your film developed back, right? You know, you would wait weeks to get a picture back from what you took.
You're right.
So, you know, for a five-year-old to even say, well, maybe I can trust them not to drop this very expensive camera, so maybe I'll let them take some pictures. But then you wouldn't get the film back for weeks. And by that time, the five-year-old has moved on to something totally else.
Yeah.
Don't remember what they took or why or, you know, anything like that. So this immediate kind of digital technology, touchscreen technology, and, of course, the ability to connect with the world via the internet has been an absolute game changer. And I think what's happened, and it's happened in many places across the world, is that folks have begun to realize, you know, we have to do something different to prepare children for this world that they're growing up into, and that our old ways of approaching media aren't necessarily doing the job. So we have this new thing that we approach, and, you know, for me, one of the things has been that our old models were, especially for early child, all based in public health. It was all about developing the dangers and then warning kids about what the dangers would be or convincing them to that screen time wasn't good for them and they should get away from the screens. And, you know, there are reasons we should all be thoughtful and concerned about media and media use, but that's not a very good place to start for an educator, right? To start from a place of anxiety and just pay attention to what's wrong. I mean, can you imagine doing that with books, for instance, right?
Sure.
We would never do that with books.
Good point. So
let's use books as our model and say, well, we know a lot about teaching reading and writing, although we still debate a lot about that, but we know a lot.
Can we
apply that?
But we apply the positive to book literacy, that's a great point. When we approach media literacy, we tend to approach it from the negative. Okay. That's an incredibly interesting angle to take here, and I'm going to ask another question. Okay, before we get into the details here, you wrote this book for a reason. What scares you about not understanding this, about doing it wrong in this day and age? There must be something. Or maybe I'm doing what you just said. I'm approaching it negative rather than positive. Talk to me.
Yeah, so I
might be
actually
doing exactly
didn't
what you just said. As I was saying
fear.
It, I was realizing that. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, no, it actually comes from that kind of realization, because as somebody who looked at media and media effects and read all the media effects research and was working with children's media and yeah, that's kind of the world that we lived in, and some of us looked at some children's media like Sesame Street or, you know, some of the other great children's media out there and said, you know, there's another possibility here. We can do good stuff with media. But we were still very much enmeshed in that media effects kind of paradigm of, is this good for kids or bad for kids and how much screen time and all of that. And what I began to realize was this whole thing of, yeah, that's not preparing kids to actually be functional anymore in the world that they live in. We still need to teach kids to read and write print. I don't want to imply that that goes away. It can't go away. It's important for lots and lots of reasons.
Of course.
But if all you can do is read and write print, you are not functionally literate in a digital world. So once I got to that point, right, because so much of text is now intertwined, you know, Apple very early on when they first came out with tablets, with they had a commercial that said, well, we can now watch a newspaper, right? And that's true, right? It's all interlinked. Right. So you're not just getting text, you're also getting image and sound and all of that. So, yes. So I wanted to, one, address the question of, so how do we make children literate for the digital world? What's changed? What hasn't changed? And how do we do that? And then I think the second piece of it is we do know a lot about how we've made children literate for the print world. Right. Are there models there that we should be taking and considering media literacy from those models?
Yeah.
And, you know, I write in the book that I've never been to a print literacy conference, a traditional literacy conference, where people were all focused on the negative. They were all focused on, oh, my God, we have to keep children away from bad books. You know, we just, it's not that there aren't bad books. There are, right?
Oh, there are.
But
there are.
That's not what we focus on when we're focusing on early literacy or emergent literacy. That's where the book came from.
It's a whole mindset. It's amazing.
Emergent literacy.
See, you wrote the story of the pandemic, one of the good things that come out of the pandemic. Okay,
there you
this
go.
Book. Yeah, it is.
I hope it's a good
thing. It's this is so thoughtful. Again, from NAEYC Media Literacy for Young Children by Faith Rogal, who was our wonderful guest today. This is so. Let me ask you this: in this crazy world, okay, when you talk about young children, I want to define this. What's a young child in your mind as you're talking about this media literacy young children? Who's that kid?
Yeah, the book is focused on ages 2 to 7. And in part, that's because it's a book about education and not about parenting. But some of the habits that we're talking about, really, you start from the beginning. I mean, just like we do with print literacy, it's not that we're, you know, handing, you know, a baby a Toni Morrison novel and, you know, expecting something, right? We don't do that. So, yeah, there are obviously going to be increments.
Have fun. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. It's about the habits that we begin to instill in them, and we want to establish this. I mean, to me, I think what's going to be key for dealing with living well in this digital world is having this culture of inquiry where we have to value inquiry and we have to get good at it. And very often we're not, and very often media are designed to make us not, and we need to understand that whole world. And we can begin to develop those habits in at very young ages.
And you said something before that struck me. You said in a I forget how you said it, but in a world of text, if you're just functional in text, you're not going to be functionally literate in a digital world, right?
Right.
You said it like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a bad paraphrase, but we know what you said. Okay. However, here's the scary question. If you're digitally literate and not text literate, how will you do in a digital world? We don't want people to forget that part.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they're both important. And if you just think about your social media feed, it's pretty easy to see why. So you're still going to need to read text and be able to understand text. You know, people click on news stories. They're still written news stories. But then also, you know, the next thing in your social media feed might be a meme. And in order to understand that meme, you need to understand more than text. So it's got to
really
be meshed. It's got to be merged.
I mean, it's just, it's this is such a deep thing. We don't have enough. I could talk to you for 17 hours on all this. I mean, it's so thought-provoking to me that it's just incredible. So I want to get to the nitty-gritty because we're talking to educators, okay?
Right.
In your opinion, okay, how are education schools or later professional development for teachers doing in a digital age so that they can teach media literacy a new form, but a digital form, not a new form? Are we training early grade teachers, so, you know, kindergarten through grade two, okay, to really understand this and teach it? And I have a feeling the answer is we're not, and I think everybody needs to buy the book, okay, but talk to me. Yeah.
Oh, I like that answer. Right.
Yeah, this is a good answer. Let me find the
book
name again.
Sure.
Media Literacy for Young Children from NAEYC. Okay. I already know the answer to the question, but go ahead. How we doing?
So the answer is we're not there yet, but we're on our way. So it's not that nothing is happening, but it's still pretty far from universal. There has been a tremendous amount of progress, I would say, in the last 10 years of teachers having more access to training, although it is still much more available for teachers of older grades, say middle school and above, than it is for younger grades. And we do need to fill that gap. And we need to help people see kind of what the strategies are and where the opportunities are. And that, you know, we can't afford to wait until high school to introduce these concepts.
And I honestly, actually, that's a very interesting point because I actually do think we tend to be doing that. Okay, we're waiting till later years till we think what media literacy is. Okay, but this affects kids from minute one. We don't wait to teach them reading. Okay,
right.
If I may, text. Okay, and we have to start this for real because this is a world which is where we are bombarded by media. All right, and it's really something. And you wrote in the book, but I want to ask you this. And there's a shortage of teachers. You know that, all right.
Yes.
And B, there is specifically a shortage of diversity within the teaching ranks, if I may. Okay, and we you know, we have kids from every possible ethnic group, etc. And media, and you know this, and you write this, people view media from your own experience, all right? And as we're looking through media, how do we deal with this part of it? Because we are all concerned about media, about equity here. How do we handle that? What's going on with that? I know you talked about it, but it is diversity, equity, inclusion. Just go into that for a few minutes.
Right. So I'm not going to pretend for a second that media literacy has all the answers to this complex, situation that we're all engaged in or find ourselves in. But I think there's a media concept that is a truism of media, which is that everyone interprets media through the lens of their own experience.
Right.
And I think it's exceptionally important for teachers to understand that. And for a couple of reasons. One is just if you're using media to teach with at all, or if you're trying to engage in conversations with students about what media effects might be, what happens is we assume that children interpret the way that we do and that they're looking at something and they're seeing, you know, we think the main message is super clear and we think, well, they must be seeing the same message. And often they are not. And that's actually true of adults, too. I mean, you know, if you've ever gone to a movie with somebody and you walk out and you think, oh, man, that was great. And, you know, the person you're with says, what are you talking about? That
exactly.
was awful.
That's
I hated that.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. That's the concept we're talking about, right? People can interpret through the lens of their own experience. And the next part of that sentence that is so important for educators is, and nobody is necessarily wrong. We can think different things, and nobody is necessarily wrong. So in interpersonal stuff with adults, we can get past the debate stage of things where everything is about, I'm trying to prove to you that your interpretation is wrong, and instead focus on, show me your evidence. What's the evidence? We want evidence-based answers. We can have evidence-based answers where people come to different conclusions because part of the answer is your own experience and the way
right.
you're seeing things. So
right.
we can start having conversations about, you know, the focus on, well, what? That's interesting. I learn a lot about you because you don't see it the way I do, right? As opposed to, I have to prove to you that I'm right and you're wrong. So it helps in interpersonal relationships between adults and welcomes in lots of diverse viewpoints without feeling threatened by them, because I don't need to think, well, if they're right, I must be wrong, right?
Yeah.
I can just say, oh, we live in a diverse, pluralistic world. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah,
but the other reason
it's
so
way to look at it.
For teachers is, you know, the more different you are from somebody else, the more likely it is that you're going to interpret differently than they do. And one of the biggest differences, when we say the word difference, very often what comes to mind for grown-ups is race or religion or location or nationality or ethnicity, you know, those kinds of things, gender.
Or politics.
Right?
I'll throw that one in.
Politics. Yeah, there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
But when you're working with young children, the single biggest difference between you and the child that you're working with is age. Right? A four-year-old does not
wow.
interpret media that you're looking at the same way you do
wow.
because you're not four, right? And so
but you
we,
were four
we
at one point, but you've long
yeah.
forgotten. Yeah.
But, you know, we forget, right? And so you're looking at things and maybe you're getting very worried, oh, man, they saw that, that's a problem and everything. Unless you start engaging children in conversation, and sometimes we forget conversations are two ways, like you pose a question,
yeah.
you actually
yeah.
have to listen for the answer, that unless we start engaging children in asking them about what their interpretation is, what they're seeing, what they're understanding, everything, we don't know. And it's not necessarily what we think. We're worried about something. Oh, they weren't understanding that at all. You know, it's like the old joke about the young child asking a parent, you know, can you tell me about it being born? You know, how was I born? And the parent interpreting that as being about sex, and the child asking about place. You know, oh, you were born in
yep.
Pennsylvania.
Well,
you know, it's like,
wow.
or you were born at a hospital. You know, it's like, So we need to begin to engage children in conversation and understanding this basic media concept of everyone interprets through the lens of our own experience really is one of those foundational concepts that helps us do that.
As you talk to educators, and I know you do, okay, you know, as you do consulting, right, or perhaps, as you know, just in general at conferences and ever, when they come back to you, what do they ask you about media literacy, specifically for younger kids? Okay, what do they ask you? What's
so,
their hang-up?
I think there are two things that come all the time. And the first is, how do I respond to parents who are afraid of using screens with kids, you know, who tell me it's bad, I shouldn't be doing that? And the second one is, so how do I do it? How do I start? Where do I, you know, this is a big concept, and, you know, are there, just tell me what to do, kind of.
tell me
the lesson to teach. And when you're talking about developing habits, it can't just be about one or two lessons. It doesn't work like that. It has to be the way you approach the world. So one of the concepts that I always talk about is getting kids in the habit of asking their own questions by modeling the kinds of questions we ask, and there's a whole set of questions in the book that are examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also asking children to give evidence for their answers and just being realistic, depending on the age child, of what kind of evidence you expect back. So we can model the process of asking for evidence. So say a teacher is reading aloud and asks a predictive question. Okay, what do you think is going to happen next? And often what happens is a child answers, maybe two children answer, and then the teacher or whoever's reading aloud says, great, let's find out. And then they just keep reading. And if instead they took 20 seconds and paused and said, what makes you say that? That's interesting. You know, why do you say that? How do you know that? Right? Hmm. In an inquiring way, not an accusatory way, you know,
right,
not
right,
what makes you say
right,
that, you
right,
know, it's like, but in an inquiring way, then the child gets used to being asked for evidence. And if you ask it of a three-year-old, they're beginning to develop the habit, but don't expect a logical, you know, evidence-based reason.
They're kids. They're babies.
But we can still ask it just to begin
that's
to develop
exactly
the
right,
expectation of here's how we have this
exactly
conversation.
Exactly the word I was
going
to use. Yep. You have to change the expectation.
And, of course, yeah, by the time, you know, they're four or five, they can begin to give the evidence. Oh, because I saw that in the picture. And in educators appreciate, in Common Core speak, that's document-based evidence from a four-year-old or a five-year-old. Oh, I saw it in the picture. And so that made me think that that's what's
right,
going to happen next.
Right.
So we can begin to even name the types of evidence they're using as they begin to get up into the older age range that we're dealing with in early childhood, which would
right,
be, you know, six or seven. So that's a part of it. Another kind of habit that I think teachers should get into is getting used to not responding to questions immediately with an answer, but instead training yourself to say, well, how could we find that out? And then helping them learn the skills to find it from a credible source. And that's not going to be all the time. I mean, if a child is coming to you and asking you for, you know, permission to use the restroom, you're not going to say, well, how could we find out where, you know, what the policy is on that and where the restroom is, you know. No, you're just going to tell them where the bathroom is and, you know, help them
right,
get there
right,
on
right,
time, right?
Let's not go berserk. Let's not go berserk.
But a
here,
lot of questions kids come up and the best, instead of just giving them an answer, giving them a chance to practice finding answers for themselves is just an easy habit that we could get into. And the third habit kind of thing that I think is pretty easy for teachers is just sharing how you choose the sources that you use with children. And that can be an in-person source. It could be a book. It could be a video, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be a long explanation. It could be, you know, well, we're about to do a project where we're going to be making some stuff with clay. And I have an artist friend, and she's won awards for her clay things, and so I brought her in to give us some tips. That's giving a set of, oh, here's how we determine credibility. There's a reason that she didn't ask, you know, the local gardener to come in and talk about making art with clay. The gardener has lots of skills, but not necessarily making art with
in
clay.
In that area, right.
Right. So just sharing that, or I chose this book because, right, I chose this video because, or I chose this app. I put this app on our tablets because, and then give the answer, you know, because it lets us draw pictures and save our work. Not everything lets you save your work. If that's an important criteria, kids be able to, you know, get in that habit of, oh, there are criteria we use to judge what makes a good source. So that's what
all
we mean when we talk about
habits. Yeah, all the things you're saying as you talk to educators, we're going to go in a few minutes, but is all these things that you're talking about, okay, are we okay on this? Are teachers moving in the right direction? Is it moving in the right direction? Do you feel good about things?
Yes and no. I mean, it depends on where you are, obviously. But what I will tell you is no one has ever approached most educators with skills like this around media. And the reception initially is usually very excited. One, when they figure out that they don't have to become film producers, Like, a lot of them think it's way beyond their skill set to do media literacy. You know, I don't know enough about algorithms and, you know, or whatever. And when they find out, actually, there's a lot you can do without being that expert. You're already an expert in teaching and information, and we can build on that. And they can start from where they're at and what they use.
You know, it's interesting. I'll go back to what you said before. If you approach a teacher and say you need to teach literacy, their thought isn't, I can't do that because I'm not an author. They don't think that. Okay?
Right.
And it's the same thing here. It's just literacy on a different thing, and you're still teaching literacy. I think that's the key thing that we're walking away from here. And I tell you, all the stuff you do in this is just amazing. You are really something, okay? How do people get in touch with you? So they know. Does Insightful have a website?
Yeah, insiderseducation.com. And it's INSIGHTERS. education.com.
Great, and I'm going to put that here on the thing so people know about it, okay? Because you should be getting in there and talking to people about this. I know you do, okay? Are you in New York? Are you in downstate New York, as we like to call it?
Upstate New York.
I had friends here last night for dinner from Corning, of all places, okay?
Not too far.
Okay, so when I think of New York, so much of it, the weight is on your shoulders. I think of it as downstate. You might think of it as upstate. Whatever. Okay. Yeah, it's cool. Faith, you're wonderful. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy talking with you.
No, I love having you on the show. Good luck with this. I'll make sure everybody knows about it, okay? Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, thank you. Have a good one.
All right.
Stay safe. Bye. Everybody, that's Dr. Faith Rogal, okay? And this book is from NAEYC. I have it all connected here on the description of the show. Media Literacy for Young Children. And I got to tell you, it's pretty fascinating. It's a big question, all right? But literacy is literacy, okay? And we teach literacy. That's what we do, all right? Welcome to 2022. All right, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That's where we put everything, okay? ace-ed.org. We have the thing on teacher retention, social-emotional learning, all our podcasts, our new issue of our magazine, etc. Check it all out. You'll love it all. Faith, thanks a million, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.